This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it is a Tuesday edition of the Chris Raby Show, Tuesday, January 5th, 2020. Happy to be with you today. Going to talk some Blues hockey as the Blues have officially opened training camp in St. Louis. Andy Strickland will be with us in just a moment. Don't forget to check out the podcast, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Scoops with Danny Mac, and check out my conversation with Bernie Miklas yesterday. We go deep dive on the Cardinals and the baseball offseason. You can tweet me at CHRABE. You can also email me, Chris, at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. So, the Blues back on the ice, training camp underway. Let's get to it and welcome in from Fox Sports Midwest and the Cam and Strick podcast, Andy Strickland. Do you feel back in your element, Andy Strickland, when you walk into the practice facility? Do the hot takes just start kind of bubbling up inside you because hockey is back almost?
Oh man, the hot takes. You know, maybe a little bit, Chris, but you know, like my element is like having the dressing room open, being able to talk to players and talk to coaches and, you know, get an idea of, you know, what they're thinking, what they're seeing, what maybe the competition will look like in this specific area or that area. And, you know, kind of getting, you know, the game within the game, if you will. And so we're still not there yet. But being back at the rink, watching practice and, you know, just putting the coat on and hanging out in the rink for a couple of hours, seeing people, talking to people, that is definitely my element, man. So it's good to be back in the rink and watching, you know, NHL players skate and practice once again. And hopefully, like I told you before, man, hopefully moving into next season, we get back to what we all have been accustomed to and, you know, starting to see a normal season and covering professional sports like we're accustomed to covering it.
Yeah, you can see Andy Strickland, of course, on Fox Sports Midwest. Check out the Cam and Strick podcast. Do you think that the short nature, Strick, of this training camp and starting the season here in, what, a week and a half or so, do you think that the restart last year lends itself at all to that? Guys, at least in teams that were headed to the bubble, know a little bit what to expect and how to kick things into gear quickly?
I think so. I mean, maybe just in terms of the duration of the training camp and having to, you know, get yourself up to speed at, you know, maybe, you know, relying on yourself to do that as opposed to, you know, just, you know, easing your way into it, you know, through preseason games and exhibition games and all of that, you know, and having the normal duration of a training camp. Now you get right back into it. Although in a typical training camp, Chris, you know, they play preseason games like 3 or 4 days into camp. So even then you kind of have to flip a switch relatively quickly. But this is even different. And, you know, you look at the bubble, you know, the Blues didn't handle the, you know, they didn't prepare themselves probably as well as they probably, you know, should have or as well as they would have liked to heading into the bubble. But they're not going to have to worry about that now. You get to play in your home buildings. Still different based on who you're going to, you know, who the opponents are going to be based on the divisional format and all of that. So it's still going to be a little bit different. We're talking 56 games versus 82 going on these road trips where you're playing teams just in your division. The Blues are in the Pacific. They're not in the Central. So again, this is still going to be different for everybody, but I like how the Blues, you know, look and how they shape up heading into the season with the new additions and just kind of having a little bit of a new look. I mean, obviously you have some familiarity that's still in place, but you also have some guys who have been here for a long time who are no longer here. So that creates some intrigue having some new faces here.
Doug Armstrong has done a pretty remarkable job of that, hasn't he, Strick? Like over the last couple of years, if you think about the players, but also what they meant off the ice to the Blues, who have left the organization going back to David Backes after the Blues lost to the Sharks in the conference finals, then to, you know, Brian Elliott and Jake Allen, then to obviously Alex Petrangelo. You lose Jay Bomeister, Alexander Steen due to injury. I mean, that's a lot of production, but those are a lot of guys who meant a lot in that room. What's impressed you the most about the way the organization has been able to move forward on and off the ice?
Well, just how they replace these guys. I mean, you just mentioned all these players. I mean, these are guys who have been around for a long time, you know, not only here in St. Louis, but have just been in the National Hockey League for a long time. You look at Jay Bomeister, when he played over 1,200 games, you know, he had his long streak where he just never got hurt. And had much more of an impact on the dressing room than I think people even realize. You know, even Doug Armstrong says that Jay Bomeister impacted everybody. They're trying to hire him right now, Chris. They want to bring him on board. They want him to be a part of the organization, you know, in a scouting role or whatever the role, whatever he wants to do, to be honest with you. I mean, who knows? If he wants to work in management one day, he's going to have that option. And the Blues would love for it, you know, to be here in St. Louis. But they want to give him an opportunity to get back into the rink and watch some games, and we'll see if he wants to do that. You know, same with Alexander Steen. Petrangelo was their captain. But what's impressed me the most is just the players who they brought in and how well those players appear to, you know, be fitting in, specifically with Torrey Krug, who signed a 7-year contract. Guys are just raving about him, his personality, how easy he is to deal with. And, you know, listen, this guy is, you know, coming from an environment where he's been surrounded by Hall of Fame talent. It's not going to be too big for him, even though the Blues, you know, obviously won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago and they beat his team in Boston. This guy's been around a big-time environment. And as Doug Armstrong puts it, he's not afraid to win. You always hear guys aren't afraid to lose, but he's not afraid to win. Like, he understands, you know, how to prepare himself and just how to play with good players and world-class players. Not everybody can do that. You know, the hardest thing to do is to be a good player on a good team. You know, a lot of guys can be good players on bad teams. Can you be a good player on a good team? And I think that's what we want to see from Mike Hoffman, who obviously, you know, he's on a PTO, but he's going to sign a contract with the Blues, and he's getting a good opportunity, and he will have a good opportunity moving forward, entering the season, playing in a top six role, being on the number one power play, you know, being his in his usual spot where he can just, you know, tee off, you know, on one-timers and get his shot off and score some goals from the outside like he's done throughout his entire career. Listen, I'm interested to see how he fits in off the ice, in the dressing room. Is there a long-term plan for Mike Hoffman to be here? Is this a one-and-done situation? He probably, for me, is the most intriguing player in terms of the new guys, for sure. But maybe the most intriguing player for me overall, Chris, of everybody in camp. I want to see how this guy fits in with this hockey club moving forward.
Yeah, so I want to get back to the culture and the off-the-ice stuff in a moment. But just what's kind of been the buzz around hockey circles that you've heard, Strick, going back over the last week, but also over the last couple of days, as Hoffman has gotten on the ice? Obviously, a guy who waited late to sign. Doug Armstrong does it again, but wasn't necessarily met with the same reaction throughout the hockey world. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, because there was so much shock. I mean, he was arguably the most dangerous offensive, you know, player available in the open market. I don't think anybody had him pegged coming to St. Louis, although St. Louis was always rumored, but, you know, could they work it out from a financial standpoint? I don't think a lot of people had Mike Hoffman signing a one-year contract when free agency began. You know, things happen, and we saw that with Taylor Hall, where he signed a one-year deal in Buffalo, and he obviously is a big-time free agent too, former Hart Trophy winner. So maybe that set the stage and you know, kind of led us to this point where Hoffman also signs a one-year contract. And it's like, hey, listen, you got to prove it. And but I want to know, like, why is it that he didn't sign? How come nobody signed this guy? You know, he spent 5 years in the minors, Chris, which is unheard of for a guy who scored in junior, too. This guy was a 40, 50-goal scorer in junior. He played the coast for a little bit. I mean, Mike Hoffman, again, there's a lot of intrigue there. And listen, he's had some issues off the ice going back to his days in Ottawa. I don't think we ever got the true story in terms of what happened with him and Erik Karlsson. And I know it's in the past, but again, it gets brought up now when he comes to a new team. This guy is such a talented hockey player in terms of his ability to score goals, which is the hardest thing to do in hockey. Not everybody can score. If everybody could score, then listen, they'd all be making, you know, $5, $6, $7 million, you know, as a player. The hardest thing to do in the National Hockey League is put the puck in the net. This guy has been able to do that consistently. And it's amazing to me that nobody signed this guy. And I don't understand why that happened. But Doug Armstrong is one of the shrewdest, one of the smartest general managers, if not the best GM in the game today. And for him to keep that dialogue going between Hoffman's agent and the player, and eventually land him here in St. Louis, really is unbelievable. This shocked a lot of people around hockey. He looks good wearing number 68 here in St. Louis. And like I said, he's going to play with good players, but he's going to have to make some adjustments in terms of how he's played throughout the course of his career. Yesterday, his first practice with the Blues, Chris, they're just doing a basic drill. He doesn't get the puck in deep, and Craig Berube blows a whistle, raises his voice, and makes them do it again and start the drill over, you know? So I think there's a standard that's set here in St. Louis that maybe is going to be a little bit of an adjustment for him that's new for him, considering he's been on some bad teams the last few years, although he's, you know, he's on some decent teams in Ottawa, a team that, you know, went deep in the playoffs a few years back. So, again, this guy is really good. How good will he be here in St. Louis, man? I can't wait to see.
Yeah, and it'll be exciting to see where he ends up. I wonder, and where he ends up from a line standpoint, I wondered, though, just big picture, Strick, like what the Blues have built and what they've built over the last couple of years, and not taking anything away or ignoring the foundation that Ken Hitchcock and Mike Yeo helped lay and those coaching staffs, but what they've built under Craig Berube, why is it now such an appealing place, not just because of the winning on the ice, not just because of the facilities and the St. Louis community, but the culture? If you had to describe what the Blues culture is right now inside that room, inside that building, how would you describe it to someone who knew nothing about the club?
They're just mature. It's a mature group of players. Like, they're professional. I know sometimes we use that term, we toss it around, but it's so true when you look at how the Blues go about their business. Like, they're prepared. They want to win. Winning is important. You know, you mentioned all those guys who have been here before, whether it's Backes or Bouwmeester or Steen. You know, all these guys, man, they set the tempo. Younger guys pick up the vibe from them, and then they carry it on, and they pass it on to the next group of players who are coming in, like the Perunoviches, the Robert Thomases, you know, the Jordan Kyrous, you know, that collection of players, Joel Hofer, who's a goaltending prospect who, you know, has potential to be really good down the line. This guy, you know, brings a lot of, you know, credentials, you know, having won the gold medal with Team Canada last year and being a dominating player in junior. A lot of people believe he's the real deal and that he's legit. So, you know, obviously we'll find out at the end of the day, you have to go do it. But when you look at the Blues, man, from O'Reilly, who sets the tone, And then you get to Perron and Shen and Schwartz and Bozak and all these guys. And then Pareko and Scandella, Gunnarsson, Bortuzzo, Krug, all these guys on the back end, Binnington. Like, they're legit, bona fide, really, really talented NHL players who go about their business the right way. Don't get me wrong. They like to have their fun off the ice. And we saw that a few years back when they had the celebration. And they keep it loose. Craig Berube creates an incredible environment for these guys. I think he gets it, having, you know, played the, you know, in the league and played over 1,000 games. I think he understands when to tighten things up and when to let it go and when to let the, you know, players kind of police things inside the dressing room. So this is a player's culture around here in St. Louis. And if the coaches have to intervene or the general manager has to intervene, then they will. But for the most part, they don't have to because of the maturity that exists here.
A couple more minutes with Andy Strickland. Blues camp open. Ryan O'Reilly looks pretty good wearing that C. You've talked about leadership, about culture, but let's get back on the ice. O'Reilly, and this might seem like a strange question, Strick, because of all that he's accomplished and all that he's done here and throughout his career, but is he maybe just scratching the surface the kind of player he can be, especially with the club around him now, the chance to be the captain and maybe what the hockey world is finally taking note of, the complete player he is?
Maybe. I mean, listen, I mean, he's been around for so long now. I mean, the guy came into the NHL as an 18-year-old. Like, I was talking about which players played in the World Juniors for on the Blues roster, and people were like, what, Ryan O'Reilly didn't play in the World Juniors? Like, no, he didn't. And he would have made the team, but he was in the NHL at 18. Like, this guy has been around for a long time and, you know, obviously has the credentials of winning the individual awards and winning a Stanley Cup and all that stuff that comes with it. So I think people realize how good he is. I think with that said, though, I think part of me truly believes that Ryan O'Reilly is still a little bit underrated across the board. I think everyone respects this guy and understands how good he is, but is he always included in the conversation when you mention, you know, the true elite of the elite players in the NHL? Probably not. And I put him in that category. I think he's that good. In terms of his, you know, ability to impact games and how he impacts games, it's not just scoring or setting up plays. It's, you know, what he does defensively in the faceoff circle, killing penalties. Obviously, he's great on the power play as well. And his work ethic is second to none. So is he scratching the surface? I think he's pretty established as a player, but I know where you're going with this question, Chris. I mean, I think there probably still is even another level for him to get to, or at least he's in his prime right now, and he's not going to drop off for a few more years. I can guarantee you that. This guy's going to be an elite player for several more years here.
Give me someone maybe a little bit under the radar, even if we don't see him making a massive impact early in the season, a name that Blues fans will be familiar with, whether they've heard it from a prospect standpoint, someone new to the organization, someone that you think the fans will be excited about at some point, if not sooner rather than later.
Man, it's tough because, you know, so many of the players that are here, I mean, are household names. Even a young guy like Robert Thomas, who, you know, he wasn't great in the bubble. You know, he's had some injuries. This is the first time in a long time that he's entered the season healthy. So, like, what kind of year can he put together? The most interesting player for me, and it may surprise some people, but this is just my opinion, I think he has to be. There's pressure on this guy. This guy has to be a good player. There's no option. He cannot be average. He can't be bad. But Justin Falk has to be a really good player for this team. When you consider he's got the contract, the position he plays, Alex Pietrangelo is no longer here. He's going to play big minutes. He's going to have a huge role. It's not an option for this guy just to be average. He has got to be the player who they thought he was when they made the trade for him. I think heading into this year, he's going to have less pressure on his back than maybe how he felt last year at this time. When you come in knowing that, you know, the captain is in the final year of his contract, everybody's speculating that you're being brought here and now he's no longer going to, you know, they're not going to be able to re-sign him. Yet everything going on with the Blues just winning the cup, and, you know, he didn't really feel a part of it. Like, they had the banner raising ceremony, Chris, and he's like hanging out in the dressing room by himself. And then they go on the road and they go to the Hockey Hall of Fame where they present the Hall of Fame with the ring, and he's fishing by himself all day. And then they go to the White House and he's hanging out by himself in Washington, D.C., not a part of it. Like, people don't realize how difficult that must be mentally to go to a new team after you've spent all these years with one organization. You're an established player, you're a three-time All-Star, and now you go to a new organization and you don't know where you fit in, how you fit in, and his personality probably isn't the most outgoing guy either, so it's taken some time. I think this guy is going to have a really, really good season, a bounce-back year, and I think when the season's all said and done, people are going to appreciate how good of a player he is. But at the end of the day, it's on him. He's got to do it. And I'm interested to see if he can.
Strick, before we let you go, had Cam on a couple of weeks ago right after the Wayne Gretzky episode. Came out in the Cam and Strick podcast. So fantastic. Some really good episodes the last couple of weeks with Gretzky and Ken Hitchcock. You guys just had the best of. Give me your favorite under the rate. Well, your favorite big time chat of the season. Maybe it was Gretzky, maybe it was someone else. And then maybe the one that you were kind of the most surprised by. Not that you wouldn't have had great expectations, but someone that just kind of caught you off guard with how good they were and how engaging the conversation was.
Well, the guy who caught me off guard was recent, was Bill Clement. And hockey fans remember Bill Clement. A lot of us grew up, you know, watching him. You know, he was, you know, on the number one team with Gary Thorne, working for ESPN and NBC all those years. And he reminded me of Bob Saget, who was, you know, the America's dad on TV, and all of a sudden this guy is doing stand-up comedy and he's like the dirtiest comic on, like, going in the country. It's like, what? This is Bob Saget? It's kind of a similar situation with Bill Clement. Like, he was so buttoned up, so polished, such a good broadcaster. Not knowing him personally, I didn't know what to expect. And he brought a level of humor and comedy and entertainment to the interview that I just didn't fully expect. It didn't catch me completely off guard, but I didn't know what to really expect in terms of how honest he was talking about his relationship with Gary Thorne. He kind of laid into Ken Wilson, who was a longtime broadcaster here with the Blues for forever and really, really popular here in St. Louis, but internally maybe not the most liked broadcaster to come through town. And he kind of took some shots there. So Bill Clement, under the radar, Chris. Didn't know what to expect. This guy was really, really good. Dino Cicerelli, who we just dropped, who's a Hall of Famer. He had some legal issues. Once hit a guy over the head with a hockey stick and then went to jail for it after doing that in Toronto. This guy was pretty honest too, man. He's a Hall of Famer, scored over 600 goals. So there's a bunch of good ones. Not always the main guys, the most popular names. Every guest we have on brings something different to the table, but for the most part, they're all really good and really entertaining and great interviews. So those are a couple that come off the top of my mind right away.
Yeah, and Gretzky, if folks somehow haven't checked it out already, can't urge them enough to do so. Just the amount of time that he gave you guys and how comfortable you all were, like, that was the best, man, because sometimes if you talk to one of these guys and they've only got 15 minutes or they're in the car or something, like, that's one thing. But the stuff you guys got into was fantastic, from his perspective about spending time with Dustin Johnson and some of the disappointments Justin has dealt with, to his perspective on youth hockey. I mean, it was fantastic stuff.
No, I know. And, like, you know what happens though? You do these interviews and then you're like, oh man, why didn't we talk about this? Why didn't we talk about that? I didn't ask him. I'm always kicking myself. But, you know, listen, yesterday I find myself texting with Mario Lemieux, Chris. And it's like, you know, here's a guy who he doesn't do interviews. And he's told me, he's like, listen, I haven't done an interview in years. And I don't know when we're going to get him. I'm hoping we do get him at some point in time. But some of these guys, they love to just hang out under the radar, even though he's pretty visible in Pittsburgh as one of the owners there with the Penguins. And obviously, he's such a legendary name and figure. He's always going to be somewhat visible. This guy doesn't do interviews ever. You know, it's like Al MacInnis here in town. He hardly ever does interviews too. But again, we're talking about Mario Lemieux. So again, like, I love reaching out to these guys, trying to get these guys to open up and come on with us. And hopefully one day he was, man. But there are so many legendary names that truly just kind of do their own thing and they live under the radar and they're not interested in continuing to live off their name and off the fame and everything they accomplished as a player. They just want to move on. I respect that, but hopefully at some point we get Super Mario to join us.
Awesome. Andy Strickland, again, the Cam and Strick podcast. Check it out. You'll see Strick as well on Fox Sports Midwest. Camp underway, and we move towards the start of the season. Thank you, brother. Always great to chat, man.
Always, always good to be with you, Chris, man. Happy New Year to you. We'll talk soon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.